legitimate defense was done in a way to achieve our goals. The attack by my country's armed forces was limited and minimal, targeting only military bases, and was in line with the international law and the principle of non-aggression against civilian areas to ensure proportionality and accurate execution to achieve the goals. Mr. President, I emphasize again, Iran's legitimate defense and countermeasures have been concluded. Therefore, the Israeli regime, the terrorist Israeli regime, must be compelled to stop any further military adventurism against our interests. Certainly, in case of any use of force by the Israeli regime and violating our sovereignty, the Islamic Republic of Iran will not hesitate a bit to assert its inherent right to give a decisive and proper response to it to make the regime regret its actions. This is an unchangeable decision. Mr. President, I would like to make it abundantly clear and loudly in New York that Iran has always been a positive part of regional developments, treading the path of stabilizing peace and lasting security, including the fight against terrorism, and will have no reservations nor compromise at all with any party over our national security and interests, as well as the collective security in the sensitive region of West Asia. The Security Council must compel the rogue and rebel regime of Israel to immediately stop the war in Gaza. I would like to assure you, Mr. President, that the Islamic Republic of Iran will remain committed to promoting peace and stability in the region. As a matter of fact, when we talk about sustainable security and stability in the region and countering terrorism, it is impossible not to mention the very significant and prominent role played by Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps, otherwise known as IRGC, in the fight against terrorism. One cannot fail to praise the dedication and selfless sacrifices made by its commanders, especially Major General Qasem Soleimani and Generals Zahedi and Rahimi and their companions who were killed in the recent missile attacks against our mission in Damascus. There is no doubt that sacrifices made by General Soleimani and IRGC in restoring peace to the region and rushing to the aid of the governments of people of Iraq and Syria is known to everyone. In this line, Iran's anti-terrorism military advisors will continue as mightily as ever their efforts to achieve lasting security in the region. Mr. President, the crimes of the Israeli regime during the past days in Gaza and other areas of occupied Palestine, as well as its attacks on other countries in the region, are indicative of several undeniable facts, including, number one, the attacks of this regime have all it takes to be construed as the crime of aggression, war crimes, crimes against humanity, and crime of genocide. And therefore, the regime and its allies are fully responsible, and all the commanders, perpetrators, and supporters of those crimes must be held accountable and brought to justice for their atrocious crimes. Number two, the essence and nature of the Israeli regime is based on aggression, occupation, terror, and genocide. Therefore, all of its past actions, such as the so-called peace negotiations, the conclusion of the Abraham Accords, and the normalization of relations, were not only peaceful, but inherently and completely deceptive, and as a result, lacked any practical results to realize the inherent rights of the Palestinian nation. Number three, the developments and the resistance of Gaza in the last 6 months once again showed that Hamas as a liberation movement is nothing more than an illusion. The support of all nations of the region and the freedom seekers of the world for the praiseworthy resistance of the Palestinian nation also prove that this nation is not at all alone in realizing this inherent right. Israel is not a legitimate state. It is only an occupying power, and the passage of time does not and will not give legitimacy to the occupying power, because based on the well-known principles of international law, the occupation of a land is temporary, even if it lasts for decades. Mr. President, the Security Council is strongly expected to shoulder its responsibility and adopt a comprehensive and decisive resolution under the 7th chapter of the United Nations Charter on the following matters. Number one, establishing an immediate, complete, unconditional, and permanent ceasefire in all areas of Gaza, including in Rafah and the West Bank. Number two, full lifting of human blockade against Gaza. Number three, exchange of prisoners for humanitarian purposes. Number four, obligating the regime to immediately and completely and unconditionally withdraw all military forces and their warfare equipment from Gaza, and the necessity of the safe return of the people to their areas and places. Number five, enforcing a comprehensive and immediate arms embargo against the Zionist regime. Six, supporting the legally binding provisional orders of the International Court of Justice, and also providing the basis for the trial and accountability of all the commanders, perpetrators, and supporters of the Israeli crimes in Gaza and other occupied Palestinian territories due to widespread and heinous commission of genocide, the targeted killing of journalists, the UN humanitarian workers, and the repeated use of non-conventional weapons, including phosphorus bombs, against the people of Gaza, and the repeated threats by the Israeli regime officials to use nuclear bombs in Gaza. I would like to reiterate that the root of the Middle East crisis lies in the occupation of the historical land of Palestine, and its comprehensive, just, and permanent solution also lies in providing the necessary ground for the complete and free realization of the inalienable right of the Palestinian people to self-determination through holding a referendum among all the original Palestinian residents, including Muslims, Christians, and Jews, with the help of the United Nations, leading to the establishment of an inclusive government in the historical and modern land of Palestine with Al-Quds as its capital. Mr. President, I would like to conclude my remarks with the universal poem by the world-renowned Iranian poet Sa'adi, a piece of poem that is engraved on the carpet donated by Iran to adorn the wall of the United Nations building, the very same Iranian carpet that symbolizes the strategic patience, science, knowledge, art, and strength of Iran and all Iranians all over the world. Human beings are members of a whole in the creation of one essence and soul. If one member is afflicted with pain, other members uneasy will remain. Thank you, Mr. President.
Amir Abdullahian, for his statement. I now give the floor to His Excellency Mr. Jose Manuel Alvarez, Minister of Foreign Affairs, European Union and Cooperation of Spain.
Señor
President, members of the Security Council, the Palestinian people have a right to hope, and the Israeli people have a right to security. This is the way to peace, and this is what brings us here today. I fully believe that there is an alternative path to the permanent violence and the unending pain between peoples who should live side by side. Last Saturday, Iran's unacceptable attack on Israel, which we categorically condemn, has brought us one step closer to the abyss. Over the next few weeks, all parties must exhibit restraint to stem the violence and lay the basis for the peaceful future, which is what brings us to this council. The risk of a regional escalation is more pressing than ever. There is no alternative other than to direct our efforts towards a political solution. To guarantee this peace, all of us at this table know what we must do. Implement the two-state solution. Making this solution an irreversible one will also make peace irreversible in the region. And there is a way to achieve this, to recognize Palestine as one more member of this United Nations organization. For this reason, my voice today and the voice of Spain joins those who are calling for this and supporting it. The only way to bring an end to this cycle of recurrent violence is the two-state solution, assumed by the whole of the international community. And now is the time to make this possible, so that the solution which we all recognize, a Palestinian state living alongside the state of Israel in peace and security, finally becomes a reality. So that finally peace between Israelis and Palestinians becomes a reality. The establishment of the Palestinian state alongside the state of Israel is without doubt a question of justice, but it is also the only viable option for peace. For this reason, Spain has decided to join the 139 countries who have already done this and will recognize the state of Palestine and support its entry into the United Nations today in this Security Council. Spain will recognize the state of Palestine because the people of Palestine cannot be condemned to be a people of refugees. Also because this is the way to peace in the Middle East. Also because this is good for the security of Israel. Spain will recognize a Palestinian state because they have a right to a future with hope, just as the Israeli people have a right to a future in peace and security. And following so many decades of pain, we know that one cannot exist without the other. Security in Israel and peace in the region are intertwined with the hope for the Palestinian people to have a state. Both have the right to this. Exactly the same right. Spain has proposed holding an international peace conference as soon as possible, whose aim would be to accomplish this solution. The European Union has aligned itself with this proposal, as have the League of Arab States and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. In all, over 80 countries. I invite this Council and the Secretary General of the United Nations to take this proposal on, so that multilateral diplomacy in action can contribute to turning a new page in the history of the Middle East, that of definitive peace. The best way of protecting and guaranteeing the implementation of this two-state solution is to admit the state of Palestine as a full member of the United Nations. This involves recognition by everybody, as the vast majority of states have already done, and as Spain is going to do. We cannot wait any longer. In May 1948, following 3 years after the Conference of San Francisco, which marked the beginning of this organization, the United Nations launched their first